Yes. And also to the one who is visiting with us this morning, I bring your greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm very excited this morning because you know why? It just can't get better than that. Wasn't that a wonderful worship meeting?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We gather here by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ just to remember him. And we are talking about Jesus Christ. Before he left this earth, he gave us two commands: to remember him and to obey the Great Commission. And the message already went out in words from the redemption song, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel." The message already went out. And all what transpired here with the worship meeting, it's so blending. Praise God. We are able to gather here by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I'm not going ahead of myself. By the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, just to remember him. And remembering the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you have to say anything. Just to remember him. And there was a hymn that read this morning, the opening hymn. I just want to read just two verses from this. Verse 3 says, "Oh, what joy it is to see thee in these emblems gathered here, in the bread and wine of blessing, bread to strengthen, wine to cheer." And I think of, as we see what is here on the table this morning, and I realized to myself that in order to see it, you have to be here. So where is those who are not here to be part of this table to remember the Lord Jesus Christ? That is what the Lord Jesus Christ requires of us, to come here to remember him. What a beautiful service when we gather here together, the saints of God, having sweet fellowship. What could get better than that? That's why I say I am so excited. Sometimes I sit down and I watch people step in, and I see the excitement in the people of God, want to just fellowship, want to shake hands. You shake somebody's hand, but sometimes you don't even watch in the face, and you're excited to see people gather together in the Lord. And that's what I am excited about this morning. You know, I see people like Sister Richmond when she come in. I see the beauty and she face excited. I see people like Sister Yvette Grant. And I see these people and them, the excitement, Dr. Utah. Oh, my. I'm excited. That get me excited. Just to be in the house of the Lord. And I would not trade this for nothing. To be in the presence of God with God's people. I would not trade this for nothing. What about you? Just to be in the house of the Lord. When I see God, people gather together. There is time I see people, I observe things. And I see people like Brother Trevor Wilson. Sometimes he wants to be here in the presence of God. And even if he's sick, he's still coming here. And that's why he never take a vacation. Because he wants to be here in the people, in the house of God. He don't want to leave. He wants to be with you. And I'm excited about that too. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when I look at Sister Anne Pierre stepping down, modeling like Esther and Vashti. Praise the Lord. I like to see this thing. And I see sometimes Brother Ray, before the meeting finished, he wants to come before the bike to beat competition. And I'm excited. That's how we have to be in the house of the Lord. You have to be excited. And if you're not excited, you know, people have to see your excitement that Jesus is real and he's here. And you want to meet with Jesus because he asked you to meet with him. He invites you to come. So when you come, he's here. Come prepared, come excited. Amen?
Amen.
And don't stay home. Because that's where the emblem is. That's why you remember. No, it's not there anymore. That's what you remember him. That's what he asked you to come to remember him. When you see the bread and you see the cup, you think of what it is mean. What it means to you. Right? And you gaze upon him. You gaze upon this. and you think what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for me and for you, and as you meditate upon it, you remember him. You don't have to say nothing. The sisters don't say nothing and they remember him. Amen? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's give me excitement. That's give me excitement. But what we are talking about this morning is the next command that the Lord Jesus Christ left with us. The command which is the Great Commission. He asked us to remember him, and he asked us also to fulfill the Great Commission. So first we're going to look from the Word of God in Matthew chapter 28. And I ask you, as we read this verse, we're going to stand and read this verse in unison. We are going to stand and read the Word of God together. Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 21 to 20. Can I ask you all to please stand, and we're going to read the Word of God together? Are you excited about God and his Word? So why you don't stand? All right, we're going to read the word together. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Amen. Keep standing. We're going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Praise the Lord. Yes, oh, it's right on the board. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. And I trust that the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his word for his dear name and mercy's sake. Shall we pray? Father and God, we bow in your presence this morning with reverent and godly fear. We thank thee, O God, for this blessed privilege, O God, we can come to remember your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, O God, now as we are about to proclaim the message, the gospel of salvation. We pray, O God, that you may give your servant the empower from on high. And we pray, O God, that those who listen to your word, Lord God and Father, the Spirit may move with them, in them, and reveal the truth into them, that the spiritual eyes may open to see the light of the world, which is Jesus. We ask this blessing and favors with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes, all the time God is good. Because why? He is good, and his goodness and his mercies endure forever, and would continue to endure forever and ever and ever. Yes. All Christian. What did they say? Praise the Lord. Are you all listening? Yes, Jesus left us two important commands that we should follow and obey. Number one, we call it the Great Commission, which we just read in Matthew 28 and 18 to 20. And number two is to remember him Just like we did this morning around the Lord's table. And he said, oh, what joy it is to hear that the heart of God, what I'm saying is, it's joy for the heart of God when his people obey his word. God is well pleased when God's people obey his word. Obey his word, obey his instruction. He's well pleased. As we gather Sunday after Sunday in obedience with excitement to remember the King of Glory, it also brings us great joy when we see the excitement of the believers that gather on Sunday morning. You know, when we gather on Sunday morning, it's like saying we cannot wait to see the next Sunday come that we should be here again. You know, when we come here and we see, experience the presence of God, we cannot wait for the next Sunday to come to gather again. Is that your feelings also? I mean, once a week we are meeting the saints to gather together. Once a week we are shaking hands and we are seeing them in the face and we are talking to them personal. That's God's people. We are God's people. God wants us to gather together to have fellowship one with another, to exchange ideas, to talk about God, to talk about what God has in store for us, to talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to be in unity, unified together, and to experience the joy that we have in serving the Lord. Sometimes I see some coming and like some don't want to be, like they don't want to be here. So if you don't want to be here, why are you coming here? You know? I'm just saying that. I mean, you have to come with excitement knowing that Jesus Christ is here by the Holy Spirit and he invites you to come. So come with boldness, come with excitement, come with joy, come with thanksgiving, come with praise from the depths of your heart. He's waiting for you to give him that. That's just what it's all about. That's why you're here. You come just for a short time to remember the Lord. And you come with the excitement to remember him. He accepts the praise. He accepts God. That's what all he wants from you. God don't want nothing else from you, you know. He didn't ask for nothing else. But he asked you to remember him. Not God, Jesus Christ, well, see him. But he asks you to remember him and to obey him in the Great Commission so that the whole world could know about Jesus Christ, his Lord, that Jesus Christ died for the sin and buried again and rose again for their justification. That's all what Jesus Christ wants men to do and to go out into the world and tell people. That's all he requires of us and nothing else, nothing more. Once you do that and you obey him, everything will follow. Everything come under that. Because you obey God, you obey Jesus Christ, you will be obedient to him. You will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not do anything. Because you follow him, you obey him, and you stick to what he said. Amen? Amen? You seem like you don't believe what I'm saying. Because you keep your mouth shut, right? But that's all right. Yes. He said the primary reason we are left here on earth after we are saved, God saved us to reconcile us back unto himself. That's the reason why we are saved. God saved us from this one purpose, to reconcile us back to himself, to bring us back to him, to have peace with him. That's why he saved me and you, for that purpose. Because why we all was astray from Adam's fallen race. So, he said, God saved us to reconcile us back unto himself, and God saved us to be at peace with him from the war and the separation and the enmity and the fear that Satan brought to the human race. Right? So God saved us to be at peace with him and to give us the ministry of reconciliation to go and reconcile people to God. Amen? Amen. He saved me and you, and then he gave us this ministry of reconciliation, and he applauds us to go back and reconcile others unto himself. So that's what the Great Commission is all about. To go out and find people and tell them about God, that they may come to know his son Jesus Christ and be saved from the wrath to come. To be saved from destruction, to be saved from the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angel. And if we don't tell them that, they're going to be lost and they're going to be in fire for all eternity. And there is me and your responsibility because we did not tell them that. Yes, and give us the ministry of reconciliation. And every Christian are called to fulfill the Great Commission and to remember him, like I said, like we did this morning. And if you are not obeying this, then the question is, why not? If you are a Christian, you're not obeying what the Lord Jesus Christ asked of me and you, the question is for you to ask, why not? Why not and not obeying the Lord to come to remember him? Why not and not making the time to obey the Lord to go out with the Great Commission? So the question is for you to answer. If you're not doing that, so why not? Why not? It asks you the question is, why not? Why not? Why not obey this? Then, why not? He said, is it that because you does not have a desire to do it? Is it that you have no time, just too busy? Is it that is that of your little faith which cause fear? You know, when you have little faith, fear comes in, right? So he asks, is it that because of your little faith which cause fear? And you may not know what to say or to do? Did you hear that? He said, fear is an emotional power of danger. It only distracts the believer spirit from the power. You hear that? It's only a distraction. Fear is only a distraction. He wants to distract you and me from the power of the Holy Spirit. Only a distraction. Right? But 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. God does not give us that spirit, not a spirit of fear. Because this is only a distraction to distract you from the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and from fear, yes. And also, in 1 John 4 verse 18 says, but perfect love will cast out all fear. If you have perfect love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love that you have for him, you spend time with him, you understand who he is, you would know what to say. You would know what to tell the people. And there is no fear that will stop you from going out on the mission and tell people about the love of God, to tell people how they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have perfect love for him. And this perfect love now casts out all the fear. But when you have no love, just like you know yourself, if you have enmity with someone, before you see them, you want to duck. You want to hide. You don't even want to go near them to shake their hand. What come? Because there is no love. So that brings fear. It brings an enmity. It brings a separation. but you does not want to be separate. So that's why you have to have love for each other. You have to extend love to each other and let that perfect love put away all fear and bind us together in love that cannot be broken. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Everyone that believes and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of truth, that to make you know that you belong to God. You hear that? Everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are sealed with the Spirit of truth. And this is what make you know, give you the confidence that you belong to God. You are sealed. That's God. You are God's possession. Amen? Amen? The Spirit now, what the Spirit is going to do, the Spirit would help you in all your weakness. The Spirit would lead you in all truth. The Spirit will comfort you. The Spirit will empower you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the one that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit is going to do for you. You know, he's going to comfort you. The Spirit is going to make you conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit do that for me and you. Amen? Yes. And by so doing, and you cannot do anything positive. Listen to what I'm saying. You cannot do anything positive apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Lord said here in John 15, John 1:15, he said, "For without me, the Holy Spirit in you, you can do nothing." Without me, you cannot do anything that is positive. So everything you do positive that is good is by the power of the Holy Spirit in you and in me. Praise the Lord. Now that the power of the Spirit is in you, what are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? You have it. You have no excuse. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit dwelleth in you. So the question is now, so now that you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, what are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? You answer this question again. Jesus said, to preach the gospel to all nations is only through the gospel of salvation can change a sinner to a saint. Do you hear that? I said it's only through the gospel of salvation, the word of God, can change a sinner to a saint. I said it's only through the preaching of the gospel, the word of God, can change a sinner to a saint. All right, I'm going to move on. Praise the Lord. You got it. Yes. And the responsibility to spread the gospel to all nations is the Christian responsibility. The world cannot do it. The world, the people of the world, does not have the Holy Spirit of God in them. The world does not have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. It takes the Christian who are born again, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes me and you to do that. That's why God called us to do this. Only me and you could do this. To preach the gospel to all nations. And there are 195 nations in this world. 195 nations make up this world. And there are approximately 8.3 billion people in this 195 nation that need to hear the gospel of salvation. Did you hear? They need to hear the gospel of salvation. And the gospel of salvation is a very simple message. One of the most simplest message that any infant could really interpret and understand what it means. The gospel of salvation, he says, is a very simple, simple message. It is that all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. And Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried and rose again on the third day for your justification. Simple like that. And if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you're going to have everlasting life. You will not go to hell. That's how simple it is. It cannot get simpler than that. It cannot get better than that. And that's what Jesus Christ wants us to go and tell these 8.5, 8.3 billion people in the world. That's what Jesus Christ wants us to do to meet it to the 195 nations in the world. It is our responsibility, the responsibility of the Christian, not the people of the world. They cannot do it. They do not know how to do it. They need to hear it. Amen? Praise the Lord. In John 1:12, Jesus says, "But as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the Son of God." As many, anybody throughout the 195 nation, any person throughout this 8.3 billion, anyone who believe in him, but in order for them to believe in him, they must hear the gospel of salvation. In order for them to believe in him, they must hear the word. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach if they are not sent? God sent me and you to do that. That's our responsibility, to go out with the Great Commission to let people know that Jesus Christ died for the sin according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again on the third day. And once they believe in him, they are going to have eternal life. They are going to live forever. They will avoid the lake of fire. That's it. What else you want to tell them? That's it. Yes. I said it already. All Christian responsible in spreading the gospel of salvation. But listen, you personally does not have to go in this 195 nation. You do not have to go there. There is different way in sharing the gospel without you being there. You don't have to go. But you can give. You can send. You can. How can I say it? There is different way in doing it. You can pray. Help me. Let's help. Help me, let's follow out. James, what we can do? We can sing. I don't think so. Huh? They won't hear. Somebody help me. How can they do it? What else we can do it? Because giving and giving and saying, Brother Trevor said we can pray. Somebody else, how can we do it? Fasting. Fast and pray. We'll fast come together with prayer. Brother Light, how can we do it? Huh? Pray? All right, somebody say prayer already. How else can we do it? Brother, how can we do it? Brother, we could shove your hand in our pocket and take out some money and send too. You say that one? Oh, you say that? Okay. Yes. There is many ways we could do it. Right? He says that you can send, you can give, you can donate, you can pray. Right? You can promote. You can financially bless a missionary. You can financially bless a full-time worker. Right? You can financially bless an evangelist. You can financially, you know, bless someone, a believer who is in need. That's all the way you can do it, in need. You can also do it with your will. When you make your will, some of us, we make our will, we put everybody's name, your grandchildren, your children, and everybody, and nothing for the Lord. What a shame. And the Lord should be the first one on that will. And I lead by example. Because many years ago, I make my will, and my wife remind me, look, make sure you put the Lord portion on that will. And I did it. I could say it here because I lead by example. Do you do it? I shouldn't mind embarrassing you, but do you do it? It's the Spirit of God that asked me the question, do you do it? It's important that you put the Lord work on your will. Because when you leave that will, you do not know who is benefiting from that will, where they are going to throw it and destroy it and leave it for the Antichrist. But if you leave the will, if you put it on your will, you call that, you lay up your treasures in heaven. That's how you lay up your treasures in heaven. You send it ahead of you. So when you go there, you're going to meet it there because you cannot go with it. And you cannot take it with you. God doesn't want any baggage up there. Everything has to stay right here. It's going to stay right here. So when you leave here, you go, you caught up to meet him empty hand. And he's going to stay right here. So take this and lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and dust and rot cannot corrupt it. That's what the word of God says. You lay up your treasures in heaven. So when you go, you're going to meet it right there. Amen? Amen. It's already, you sent it before. Don't wait to go. You cannot go with it. You cannot take it with you neither. So you send it ahead of you. So when you go, it is already waiting for you. And the Lord would say, welcome, good and faithful servant. You has done many. Amen. I remember a couple of years ago, not a couple of years ago, but just in January, I meet my friend, they call him Howard, from Jamaica. We worked together, my ex-co-worker, before I retired. He brought a friend on the job, and his friend was a heavy-set guy, and the guy is powerful, so everybody knew him as Hobby, you know. And this guy was working for the same company, but after I retired, so I asked him, when I saw him in January, I said, how about Hobby? Where is Hobby? He said, boy, Hobby back in Jamaica. I said, what happened? He said, boy, I pick him up, you know. I said, oh my. He said, what's about the money? But he said, I used to advise Hobby to send him money back in Jamaica. But he keep his money. He's living with a woman who is not married. Put all the money with her. And now he go back in Jamaica. But he didn't listen to his friend's advice. His friend tell him, send his money back in Jamaica. Now he go back. He don't have no money. He money stay right here. And he can't even contact her to get his money. So bad. If he had sent him money ahead of him, when he go back in Jamaica, he would have been able to build a house. No, he don't even have a house, as a Friday friend tell me. He commanded him, he advised him, he said, Herbie, send your money back in Jamaica. He never believed him. He never listened to him. Now, he go back in Jamaica, no money. He money is here and he can't get it. Somebody's spending it. Somebody's living on it. Because why? He did not listen. I'm asking you to lay up your treasures in heaven, send it ahead of you. So when you go there, you're going to meet it waiting. The Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. This morning, if you have not known the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I want to let you know in Acts 4:12 says, there is neither salvation in any other. For there is no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, but only at the name of Jesus. I trust that you be wise, be intelligent, and make the best decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior before you leave these doors this morning. Otherwise, where Christ is and where his people is, you will not be able to enter in. I trust that these few words may motivate your heart and your mind to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept him as Lord and Savior in your life before time change into eternity. Amen.